Blog Talk Radio.
Praise and thanks. Mojuba Akoda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluami, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Arabami, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013, and we invite you to please support our sponsors, Manhood, Race, and Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can reach out to him on Facebook on Manhood, Race, and Culture, as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. Also, please support Unity Design, headed up by R. Lee Gordon. You can reach out to him on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com, and Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. Also, support the AAE Society, the All African Empowerment Society, headed up by my comrade, Brother Laquais Jewell, who is my co-host on every other Friday night. So next Friday night, Brother Laquais will be gracing the air again, spreading the knowledge and the love on creating the treasury and being part of the gathering, which is not a movement, but a new way of life. So please reach out to AAE Society on the World Wide Web at aaesociety.org, as well as Laquais Jewell and on Facebook as the All African Empowerment Society. So tonight, I'm going to go ahead and get to my guest, Brother Sugar Ray. I'm going to go ahead and open you up. Peace, Brother Sugar Ray. Welcome to Sign of the Times. How are you doing tonight, beloved?
Peace, Queen. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Nursing can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me well?
Oh, yes, sir. We hear you very well, very well. I'm glad to be on the air with you tonight. Looking forward to catching up. I know we always tag each other on Facebook and keep track of the temperature in our various environments as you're in the great state of New York. So please, you know, introduce yourself for those who may not have heard you on the previous broadcast here on Sign of the Times, and let us know what you've been up to since the last time we talked.
Oh, man. Peace. Well, again, it's always honor, right, and pleasure to be here with you, to vibe with you, to build with you. Definitely proud of all the work that you're doing from where you are with what you have. You know, definitely showing a lot of love to our people. Definitely, you know, you provided a platform that so many of us have been able to build on and build from and expand our networks, you know, gain knowledge, gain power, gain strength, and gain momentum in our respective works. To building our communities. So since we last spoke, I think the last time we were on the air together, we was on the air with Brother Sage Love, speaking about the New Panther Project. So that's still, you know, that's still in the works. We actually are launching a pilot for the 12-part docuseries on December 21st at National Action Network here in New York City. That's happening. You know, so still in production for that docuseries. I think since the last time we spoke, I think we maybe spoke in June or something like that. We released a short film, The Picture, based on the Haitian Revolution. We released that in July. So that's been going well. You know, that film was actually part of the first annual Hip Hop Film Festival in August at the National Black Theater here in New York City, Uptown Harlem. So that was pretty big. We had a big screen in there, and, you know, was able to make some connections and, you know, build our network stronger. What else? Oh, man. About to have a baby, you know, my first child.
Yes.
My wife is 9.5 months pregnant, right? Literally do it any day, any week, you know. So excited about that. And since the last time we spoke, I got together with some friends, and we began addressing rape and rape culture in our community, as we realize that it is an issue that has been plaguing our community for so long. And in my 30 years, right, 32 years being alive on Earth, I haven't seen anyone, you know, really consistently address the issue, not so much just of rape, right, but of the culture that creates rape, right, because obviously rape is an action, but it's a culture that makes it okay. Right, it's a culture that perpetuates it through our music, you know, through laws, you know, to make excuses for rapists, and just through everyday dialogue, ideology, the way we think, you know, about not only women, the way we think about people in general, that, you know, people are meant to be controlled, dominated, exploited, particularly our women and our children. So, you know, definitely been doing that. We're actually in production now for a feature-length documentary on rape culture in the Black community, where we have a few rape survivors sharing their story, as well as some educators, you know, a few historians, just speaking about, you know, where the culture comes from, you know, how we as a Black community or as Africans here in America have become so indoctrinated you know, that we exploit our women, that we degrade our women and our children, and that, you know, we become silent about these issues. Whereas, you know, in ancient times, whenever there was an incident of rape, the person who did it was, you know, dealt with accordingly. It wasn't no excuses, you know, or maybe you shouldn't have dressed like this, or maybe you shouldn't have flirted, or, you know, or as some people say, the children I've even heard, you know, when children are molested and they go reach out to an elder in their family, some family members make excuses, you know, if it's a young girl, you shouldn't have flirted with him. You know he was too old for you. It's like, what? I'm not flirting. Like, no, you shouldn't have walked around in your underwear. It's like, yo, I'm 7 years old and I'm in my house. Like, you telling me I can't be comfortable? Right? So, yeah, so just, you know, really delving into that issue, you know, and ultimately just offering a voice to those who've been silent, to those who've been made to believe that it's their fault and they can't speak about it. And they, you know, so many people who've been molested and violated in that way feel like they're alone. I feel like, you know, no one will understand. Now, realizing that so many people have experienced it, you know, so just you know, just continuing to work to help heal our people, because we cannot evolve, we cannot elevate until we heal. And healing is the key, and that's the first step.
Absolutely. Healing definitely is the key, and we talk about that all the time here on Shine of the Times. And so, it, you know, there's a saying that says that you can tell a lot by a culture by how it treats its women and children. Mm-hmm. And so to begin to open up the dialogue that makes the victim feel uncomfortable, often, as you said, makes the victim take blame when simply being who they are, especially when it's a circumstance with a child. So what made you look at this particular issue? Was there an incident in the community, or did you find it coming up in dialogue more?
So I've been hearing, if I was to take 100%, right, if I was to have 100 female friends, I would say that 95% of them have been molested. And I've always heard the stories, you know, they've always, and I've always wondered why, like, even down to relationships, you know, if I was to say, you know, if I was to take 10 of my intimate relationships with women, I would say 9 of them have been molested or raped, either as children or adults, or both as children and as adults, they've been violated in that way. And I've always questioned, I've always wondered, you know, why me, right? You know, why do I have, you know, why am I finding women, why am I dating women, and loving women who have been violated in that way? You know, and even I was, right, I recognized that I was part of that culture, right, that I would hear it and I would do nothing. I would be like, damn, that's messed up. You know, I would definitely, you know, be there to console, you know, whoever shared their story. But nothing went further. You know, maybe occasionally I'll connect a friend with a, you know, a psychologist friend I have, or, but I didn't do anything. And even more particularly, what really pushed me into this, into addressing this issue so passionately. So last year in my community in Queensbridge, there was a young girl who I know who was violated. You know, a 14-year-old girl was violated by a couple of teenage boys, you know, 15, 16-year-old boys. When I heard about it, you know, her grandmother told me about what happened. And when I heard about it, the same day I connected the family with the community affairs police officers, right, with a, you know, black officer, connected them, you know, let her know the urgency of what happened. 2 weeks later, nothing had happened. So then I connected the family with some more officers, right, with a lieutenant and a captain, and I made some connections. But then 2-3 weeks later, nothing had came from it. You know, there was no arrest made. There was no help really given to the family, to the young sister who was violated. And I just chalked it up. I was like, well, you know, I did my part. And I would see the young girl. You know, I would still see her in the community. I would see her mother, and, you know, we would speak, you know, and I introduced, you know, the young sister to my wife. She came to our home one day and, you know, told my wife actually the whole story. And still nothing happened. And then it came to a point where, you know, because the boys who did it were in the community, right? And unfortunately, and just being completely honest and transparent, I kind of didn't know what to do because the young boys, I actually knew them too. And I knew the young boys, you know, and this doesn't make it right, right? But this is my thinking at the time. I knew them before I knew her. So I wasn't taking their side like, oh, they can't do this. I definitely believed her, but I didn't know how to address the situation because part of me wanted to literally, like, whip their ass, right? Part of me wanted to call the police. And then the other part of me didn't know what the hell to do. I wanted to, I just didn't know how because I've never addressed a situation like that. And I've never seen anybody in the community address a situation like that, right? Since I was younger, 11, 12, 13, I've heard stories of, oh, this guy raped that girl, right? And then the girl's still around, and then the guy's still around, and then in some instances, the girl's still talking to the guy who raped her, right? And it's like, so as a young boy, my mind's deconditioned, like, okay, well, this is just what happened. Right, and I've always heard, or I've always felt like, nah, this ain't cool. But society, right, was like, this shit is just what happened, right? And nobody ever did anything, so I didn't know what to do when it came time. Like, I wasn't shown, like, yo, if this happens, this is what you do. I wasn't shown, so, you know, a year passed, and the girl ended up even dealing with older dudes. The girl who was raped last year dealing with older dudes, and her reasoning was, well, people already think I'm a hoe, so I might as well be a hoe. Right, and they violated her in a way where they made a video. They made a video and they burnt her with cigarettes, and they completely violated this girl. And eventually, you know, she went into a group home, right, getting in trouble, running away from home and stuff like that. So what happened was a couple of months ago, right before I actually launched a campaign, right before I, you know, did our first, rally and forum here in Queensbridge, an officer friend of mine, detective friend of mine, gave me a call, you know, actually she shot me a text one night. It was like, please, brother, you know, I was made aware of something, you know, something came across my desk with your name on it. And so, you know, I gave her a call, and I was like, you know, she told me what happened. She told me that she just was made aware of the incident, right? And what she said, it really hit me. She said, when they told me about it, I was like, damn, Queensbridge. And she was like, whoever told her, I think the officers who told her about it was like, yo, Sugar Ray knew about it. So she said, in my head, when I heard Sugar Ray knew about it, I figured something happened. But then I realized that nothing had happened, so I was like, why? And she never, you know, said, you know, she never, like, you know, I guess bad-mouthed me or you know, told me I should have done more, but I felt it. I know I could have done a lot more. I could have put more pressure on the police department. I could have put more pressure on city council. I could have called the newspaper. I could have I could have, you know, blew the young boys up. Posted their pictures in the community. I could at least even address them, right? And I did nothing. And so in that moment, I realized that, you know, there's always more you can do. That coupled with the fact that, you know, I'm having a daughter, right? I'm having a daughter who I know is going to be extremely beautiful. I know is going to be extremely creative and, you know, humorous and loving. And so I just, you know, was like, yo, I can't change the past. I cannot go back and redo or do over what I should have done, right? I can't do anything differently about yesterday. But what I can do is make sure that from now on, I don't stay silent on this issue. Every time I hear about it, I address it, right? I make the community aware, and I address it head on. And so that's what pushed me into it. You know, that night after that phone call, I called a friend of mine, Kenny Carter, from Fathers Alive in the Hood, told him I had to address this issue, you know, not only for our girls, but for our boys and our women and, you know, even our men who are violated in prison, even our men who are violated, you know, by law enforcement, right? We got to speak up, you know, for those who feel too embarrassed to speak, those who are too, who are being intimidated to not speak, right? So that's how, you know, I got to addressing this issue.
Your Brother Sugar Ray, in creating the safe environment where people can talk about this issue openly, because you're right, it goes beyond females. You know, there are boys and other violations throughout our society. So talk a little bit about how you do create a safe environment for people to be able to come forth, and how does that dialogue even start? Is it usually like an open forum, or Do you kind of just wait for someone to come to you? Because we do know that this problem exists. But, again, creating that safe environment where we can just talk about it is something different.
No, definitely. So you know, still working on, you know, getting more people to speak out publicly, but, like, in group settings. But what we did do was, you know, when we began filming the project, Sage Love and I, you know, we had a studio space. You know, we told people what was happening, right? We text people, you know, we spread the word. And, you know, people showed up. You know, a few shared a little bit of their experience of what happened, of, you know, when they were violated. Some were definitely a little too emotional. Some have never shared publicly like that, openly with strangers, because some of us were strangers. We never knew each other other than on social media. So this was the first time meeting and first time really talking, you know, in that room that first day. You know, some people have only maybe shared with, you know, maybe their, you know, their spouse, maybe close friends, but they never shared with their parents. They never shared with their family. You know, they never shared with strangers, right? So just, I guess, you know, again, still working on it, right? Still working on figuring out how do we create those spaces. But one thing I learned is that, you know, just be transparent. You know, a lot of us have been violated one way or another, right? And so what I was able to do, again, was just let people know that, yo, it's okay. It's not your fault. You know, far too many of us have experienced it in one way or another. You know, some young boys have been molested by adult men or adult females, right? Or even, you know, a boy who may be 7, 8, 9 years old maybe has a 12, 13-year-old sister or cousin, right? And, you know, obviously she may be older, and or even vice versa. There's so many ways that this happens, right? And that this issue, that this problem manifests itself in our community and in our homes. But, you know, just being transparent, you know, just letting people know that, you know, maybe them sharing can help someone else, right? Just encouraging them that it's okay to speak and letting them know that, you know, there's no judgment. You know, we definitely, you know, not coming from a place of judgment. We just want to help, you know, in whatever way we can. And, again, still figuring out more ways that we can help, right?
As you mentioned, Brother Sage Love, shout out to him. Yeah, he definitely is an asset to the team, to the family, if you will. I see that brother achieving some dynamic things in the future as he continues his path as a visionary. So it's an excellent partnership with you two, and much love and much respect to the work that you all are doing together.
Thank you.
Ashe. And so Brother Ray, you know, the term alone, rape culture, to me, that may throw up a contradiction in someone's mind if they hear rape culture. Rape culture, it sounds like a contradiction of two words. How can rape be a part of one's culture? And if it is a part of the culture, how did it get to be that way? So can you talk about, I guess, not being afraid to use those terms and being bold with approaching this project?
So, you know, rape culture, right? I didn't start hearing the term until recently, right? It's not something I heard growing up. It's not something I heard even in recent years, literally recently. But, again, when I look at my community, like my direct, personal, geographical community of Queensbridge, right, like I said, I remember growing up and hearing, you know, some of the older gentlemen, you know, flirt with girls and speak to girls. And, you know, when somebody be like, yo, she's too young, the dude would be like, man, if she bleeding, she could get it, meaning that if she's old enough to have a period, she's old enough to have sex, right? You know, I remember hearing, you know, certain dudes say, you know, to girls, to females, oh, yo, you're gonna let me rape rip, and it's like, as a young boy, like, what the hell is what is this, right? But really, it was part of the culture of my community, was that it was okay, right? It was normal, quote unquote, right? For grown men to sleep with young girls who were already sleeping with boys their age, it was okay because they were already having sex, so it was okay for me to get some too, even though I'm 10. 15 years older than her. She's 14, 15. I'm 25, 30. It's okay because she's already doing it. She's already a hoe, so I might as well get some. It means it's okay. And, again, that's part of the culture. Culture, obviously, is, you know, can be defined as, you know, the language, the norms in any given society, mm-hmm. right, shared by a number of people in any given time or space, right? The language, the arts, you know, the activities, the ideologies, right, that these people share. So if in my community, you know, there are a great number of people, you know, sharing this language, right, men and women who share this language, right, who have this ideology mm-hmm. that if she is raped, it's her fault because she was too drunk, she was too flirty, her clothes was too short, right? She's already having sex with 100 people, so why not? Like, you can't tell me no. Like, how are you telling me no when you're over there sleeping with him and him and him and her? And can't tell me no, so you know what? I'm going to take it. Because you want to give it to me anyway, right? That's the ideology, right, of a lot of people in our community, right? And so that's the culture, right? And
mm-hmm.
Not being afraid to use it because that's what it is, right? And there are people who say, oh, there's no such thing as rape culture. There's nobody who's saying that, you know, people deserve to be raped. But there are people who are saying it, right? When we look at our music, right, one of the most popular lines, obviously, of the last few years as it relates to dealing with rape culture, when Rick Ross, you know, the rapper who so many people love, right, said something in one of his rhymes, you know, I put Molly in her drink and she ain't even know it. You know, I took her home and hit it and she ain't even know it. It's like, yo, like, dude, like, that's part of the culture, right? Part of the culture when Snoop Dogg said back in the 90s, you know, bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's part of the culture of degradation, right, of degrading and demeaning a person, period, particularly our women. And age is not even an equation, right? Rape culture is when you have certain countries, especially over in East Asia, right, or South Asia, where they make laws, right, that protect the rapist, right? When they have countries and certain, you know, states or towns and villages where young girls can be sold into brothels, and it's okay. And then 9, 10, 11 years old, sleeping with grown men. It's part of rape culture. Why? Because rape is the violation of, you know, against a person's space when they're unable to give consent, right? Whether they are intoxicated, whether they are underage, right? Whether they have a mental disability where they cannot properly process what's happening to give a proper sound consent to it. If they're too young, clearly they can't give consent to their body, right? So no matter what they say, mm-hmm. right, it's rape. If they're mm-hmm. 9 years old and they say they want it and you do it, it's rape. She's not old enough to make the decision, right? If she's drunk, right, that's rape. And mind you, now mm-hmm. as I'm learning this stuff and as I'm doing more research on it, right, I'm realizing that by those definitions, even I've been guilty of it, right? Because even I've been drunk and slept with someone who was drunk, right? But by definition, that would be considered rape.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to be honest, right? It's like, oh, mm-hmm. shit. So, you know, it's you know, really heavy, definitely a very heavy topic, very heavy, deep issue, but it needs to be explored and it needs to be discussed and we need to figure out, you know, number one, again, where does it come from? Because this is not us, right? This is not us. So, you know, yeah, just, you know, still learning, definitely still learning,
mm-hmm.
But definitely willing to have the difficult conversations and like even recently, last week, 2 weeks ago on Facebook, brother, you know, very prominent brother in our community, filmmaker, right, had a powerful film called 7 a.m., right? I think he actually did some stuff in your city, right, Cincinnati or Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
trying to do some stuff, right? But this brother made a post speaking about, you know, single women, single black women and, you know, being sluts and, you know, if they have a child, you know, about more than one man or they're not with the father. Crazy, crazy post. And I was like, yo, peace, that's not all of our sisters. Right? That's not even a majority
mm-hmm.
of our sisters. That's a small percentage. And even that small percentage, they are that way because of something. It's not just for no reason. It's a cause and effect, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
The one brother So the one brother had went to my page and was like, oh, you see what he's about. You know, he's pandering women for, you know, for their pennies, talking about rape culture. Ain't no such thing as rape culture. And I'm just like, yo, so many of our men don't get it. Right? And again, I didn't get it, right? But when we stop and we think and we just analyze, like, what is culture? Like, what does culture mean? And then what does rape mean? And is it possible that rape can be embedded and woven into someone's culture? Right? The video games, right? The video games, Grand Theft Auto, and so many other video games, right? The porn industry, right? The church, when, you know, sporting teams, like, so across our society, across all cultures, there are instances, right? And there are spaces where people, adult men and women and children, young boys and girls, are violated and nothing is done. That must mean that it's normal to some people. And so that's the part of the culture. You know, that's where the culture part comes in.
All right, I want to remind the listeners, if you're on the phone, you can push 1 to come into the conversation in the host queue. If you're listening on your phone, I mean on your computer, please dial in at 917-889-8059. We're going to take a break in about 20 minutes or closer to the top of the hour, Brother Sugar Ray. But, you know, as we look at this and we continue to have these kinds of dialogues, let me ask you this. How much do you think mainstream media has to do? You mentioned, you know, video games and conversations in the street. And so how is it that this environment, it seems as though it's safer to, it's more part of the norm, if you will, to have these kind of conversations that take people towards the direction that we're trying to steer away from than it is to introduce this topic, you know, because, you know, as we said earlier, this is something that it's one of those unspoken, talked about things culturally in our community, even though we know that it goes on. So how much do you think mainstream media and those things that we mentioned, video games and hip-hop, have to do with creating that safe boundary so those secrets can stay in place and we really don't open up this wound so that it can heal?
Well, I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, how much do you think mainstream media and hip-hop and those kinds of things have to do with creating the safe environment that allows these things to keep on happening in our communities?
I mean, they made it normal, right? They made it normal when they started mainstream media, right? When they pumped, you know, and obviously music, you know, and they used hip-hop. Hip-hop was not originally made for, you know, degradation or, you know, disempowerment, right? It was made for expression. Right, but clearly someone, you know, they hijacked it, and when they started pumping millions and millions and billions of dollars into, you know, people's pockets, artists to degrade people and even, you know, people to even degrade themselves, right, they made it normal. Like, you know, so now a young girl who's growing up in the community, right, because one thing that we all have and that we cannot deny is that we all have a basic need to belong. We all want to belong to someone, right, and we belong to something, right? It's definitely a basic human need, right, to connect, right? And literally, like, that's even, like, the foundation of life, right? How life forms, right, when the sperm enters the uterus and, right, searching for the egg, searching for connection. We all want to connect and be connected, right, so that we can, you know, grow. That's how we grow, is through connection. That's how our power surges, right, through connection, right? And so now when you have a young girl who, you know, in any given community, any given black community, who wants to, you know, succeed and wants to be popular, right, and wants to feel loved and appreciated. And then the majority of the music that's out there saying that the only way to get love from the cool dudes, right, is to, you know, do X, Y, Z, you know, on the first date, or even if he's not your boyfriend, let him hit, and if he got a friend, let his friend hit, right? Even if she doesn't want to do it sometimes, she feels pressured to do it. Why? Because maybe in her community, her friends tease her, right? Maybe because she might, you know, look a little different, or she might, you know, her body type might be a little different than what society says is beautiful or is normal or is a standard, right? So she's already now feeling less than, right? So now how does she, you know, validate herself, she goes out and she does things that she that she doesn't want to do. And that idea is definitely created, right, by mainstream media when they say the standard of beauty is this, slim, long, straight hair. Like, whoa, like, huh? It's not the standard of beauty. But you can't tell a 14-year-old girl or a 17-year-old girl that when she's in a school, she's in a community, she's in society where that's what dominates her thoughts, that's what dominates what she sees and what she hears, right? We are shaped by what we see and what we hear, right? It shapes our thoughts, right? And so they are geniuses in mind control, right, and manipulation, and mind manipulation, right, and predictive programming where we can create a certain, right, we create certain channels, right, frequencies that a great majority of any given people in any given geographical location is going to pick up on and going to actually submit to. Why? Because we understand how we understand sight, we understand color, we understand how these frequencies work, right? And we understand self-esteem, we understand human emotion, right? They obviously, and they got that from us, but we've forgotten that, right? So they use our knowledge against us and trick us into now doing things that's outside of us to be validated by those people who don't even love us. Right? So, yeah, mainstream media, hip-hop, you know, when they started putting, you know, me and my wife was talking the other day. We was watching, she was humming a song. I forgot what R&B group it was from, but it was, you know, early, mid-90s. And we went and watched the video. And she's like, you know, I miss these videos. You know, when the video was more, you know, it was like a scene. It was like a real movie, like, if it was a love song, the guy come in and maybe have a ring for his girl, and they'll go on a date, and they'll be singing, and, you know, they might have a little argument, but they'll make up, and then they change the videos, right? They change the videos to it's all about shaking your
ass.
Right? And it's all about
flashing
money
and
in the strip club, right? So that's mainstream media. That's hip-hop, right? That's hip-hop. That's not our hip-hop, but that's hip-hop as it still is today. And so, you know, again, mainstream media, definitely, video games, the magazines where, you know, walking through the train stations here in New York City, right? They have a little, you know, the little newspaper stands, and they have all the magazines, and maybe like 80% of the magazines, 75% of the magazines are women half naked, right? The train station, the ads in the train stations and on the buses, sometimes are women half naked, right? It's like, whoa, like this is, like, okay, so in order to get this popularity, right, because these women are half naked, they have some money, they're successful, right? And so the in a young girl's mind, it's, okay, well, if I want to be this, if I want to get this type of husband, then it's what I got to do. On the flip side, the young boy's mind is that I want that type of woman. So if you ain't that type of woman, then you ain't for me, right? If you ain't getting naked, right, if you ain't showing me your titties, if you ain't letting me hit on the first day, it ain't for me. Why? Because they created the ideology of what one woman won't, the next woman will.
And
so now people are compromising their morals, right? Young girls and women are compromising their morals because they love a man and they want to keep him, but he's saying, yo, if you don't do this, like, this is what I like, and you have to do it. If you don't do it, I'm going somewhere else. And nobody wants to be alone, right? They're like, you know what? I don't really want to do it, but I'll take one for the team. I'll do it because I love you. No, do it because you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, then don't do it.
That's right.
But
that's right. No, still means so.
Look, and it's hard to stick to that. I understand that, right, because it's like, damn, like, so much pressure to do it because you're like, okay, you say no to this guy, so this guy leaves. Okay, now the next guy, he's a nice guy. He loves you, right, respects you. Now y'all start getting intimate. Now he wants to do this. You don't want to do it. He's like, well, if you don't, the next woman will. And he's like, you don't want to be cheated on. So you're like, damn, you try to keep him happy. Now knowing that, nothing you're going to do is going to keep him faithful if he doesn't want to be faithful. If he wants to cheat, no matter what you do, he's still going to mess with another girl. But it's all that pressure to belong, that pressure to be loved, that pressure to be accepted, right? That pressure to be popular, that pressure to be noticed, that pressure to be liked. So much pressure, right? And as you know, pressure either bust pipes or make diamonds, right?
That's right, that's right. And you know, you talked about some of the consequences of not doing enough when we find out that this problem exists or approaching it so that everyone can have the opportunity to heal. And in your conversations, Brother Sugar Ray, one of the things I'm curious about, you know, when the Panther Party enacted justice in the street, it was, you know, communal, and they held court, you know, amongst each other. You know, if something was going on in the community, they addressed it as a community. And I'm sure it was a struggle to decide whether to continue to involve the police or to continue to attempt to have dialogue directly with the families when there is this type of situation that occurs. So how do we get, I guess, back to more communal responsibility and communal, I guess, consequences when there is a situation like this? And, you know, I was in a situation, okay, I'm going to tell you briefly why I'm asking this question, because I too had to make a similar decision. I had children showed up in my house at about, I guess, about 1 o'clock in the morning, and there were three of them, and their mother was an addict and was allowing her company to bed with these children, so they came to my house. And initially, I didn't know what to do. I was like you. I didn't know what to do. And so, you know, I made sure that they had something to eat and put them, you know, in the room with my children so that they know that they were at least safe there for that particular time. But I was like you. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to call DHS, the Children's Services, or whether I should try to talk to the parent. Or, you know, I knew that that probably would be futile and very consequential for the children. So I, too, had to make that decision. But it was very, very uncomfortable that there, one, was not the type of environment around me to where I could call somebody in the community to help address the issue. And, two, you know, I knew that I could suffer consequences if I chose to do nothing. So how do we, I guess, get back to more community accountability when there are circumstances like this?
I'm still figuring it out, sister. But I think what we do is, you know, clearly in every community, I believe, there are a few people, right, who feel like you feel, who feel like I feel, right? So I would say the first step is to call those people, right? And again, never forget the old way of, you know, literally putting a flyer and having a general community meeting, right? We don't always need, you know, a lot of times we, as activist advocates, you know, those of us who are active in our community, we want 100 people at every meeting. We want 50 people. Sometimes you get 3 people, that's a start. If you get 2 people, right, that's a start. Right, because obviously I'm one person, you're one person. If you and I are talking, I know there is at least one other person you know that feels how you feel, right, that will come out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And one other person that I know. So now we come together, we discuss something, we take it back to, even if we get one other person, next time it's 4 people, then next time it's 6 people or 10 people, right? And it starts like that. But a lot of times we want that instant, that big hit. We want to be Black Panther Party now. Right, Black Panther Party didn't start with hundreds of thousands of people. It started with a few people who had an idea.
That's right.
Right, and then it spread out. Right, and that's a lot of times that holds us back. That holds us back. So, again, it even holds me back sometimes, right, because I want that instant now. I got to remember that it's a process. Right, and if we can start with 2 people, 3 people, then, of course, eventually we can get to 50 people and 500 people. It's going to take time. It might happen, right, in a week. It might not happen until a year. But consistency, right, putting up flyers, letting the people know what's going on in the community, yo, we're having a community meeting here, right? Because all you need is a space, and the space can be held outside, right? It depends on the weather. You call a community meeting outside. You call a community meeting in the hallway, in the basement, in the living room, right, in the park. So many different ways you can have a meeting. We always look for a certain space. Nah, have it anywhere, on a playground. Right, wherever you are, that's where you are, and that's where you need to handle your business, right? And so, yeah, I would say as far as getting back to communal justice and things like that, it's just that way, you know. Just put up flyers, you know, call a community meeting, you know, set a location, set a date, set a time, you know, spread the word, put up flyers, talk to people in your community, tell them why the meeting is happening, what's going on, if it's a direct reaction or a direct response to something that just happened, and let them know what just happened.
and we want to come together. This is what we want to discuss, and this is some of my ideas, some of the ideas that the people that I have. And just do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think we definitely got to get back to, you know, real grassroots, real speaking to our neighbors. Well, you know, whether we're in a building, whether we're in a home, a house, speaking to people who live around us. You know, and letting them know what's going on in the community. Because some people really don't know. Some people literally go to work, come home, go to school, come home,
mm-hmm.
and they're inside and they hang out. They don't hang out in their community. When they go outside the community. So they don't really know what's happening in their own neighborhood, in their own building, on their own floor sometimes. They have no idea. And so if you know, if you're active in your community and you know what's happening, then put them to the shop like, yo, did you hear about such and such? Don't do it in a gossip way, but you got to talk, right? Like, yo, such and such
mm-hmm.
happened recently, man, and you know, we want to have a meeting, you know, next week. Can you make it? No, can you share it with somebody? You know, maybe somebody in your home, somebody in your family, somebody who you work with, you know, somebody else in the community who you may know. Please share with them and encourage them to come out and join us. And that's how
mm-hmm.
it starts.
Ashe. Well, we're going to take a quick break, Brother Sugar Ray. Thank you for joining us tonight here on Sign of the Times. We're going to take a quick break, everybody. If you're listening on your phone, please, again, push 1 if you would like to come in queue. If you're listening on your computer, the number to dial in is 917-889-8059. We will be right back.
Put this on YouTube.
Yeah.
You heard this, dude.
I believe our greatest need as a people is to educate our youth. I believe that we need to move from all of the individuals and groups who are doing great things in their communities to uplift kids through better education, but we need to move from fragmentation to consolidation to coalition. They are simply products that help to create awareness.
Anytime you can put a symbol on a t-shirt that symbolizes unity, that's what we're doing.
Something for people to rally around. I use the colors of red, black, and green to reconnect African American youth with their culture. How do you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been and what you've been through as a people? At best, we are strongest together. And in that sense, I am driven and passionate about talking to as many people and groups all over this country who, again, want to help to maximize the mission, want to help to move forward our kids with better educational opportunities.
Hello, my name is Dr. James Thomas Jones III, and I am the author of an exciting new book titled Obruni, An African-American Odyssey Home. Most African-Americans have some desire to discover where they are originally from. Obruni is the story of my personal journey to find my ancestral home. Through a host of twists and turns, I must relate that I was able to have many of my most pressing questions regarding who I am and where I come from answered by some of the least likely sources. In fact, I was able to discover some surprising things during my trip to Ghana. If such things interest you, please support A Black Writer and visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of Obruni, An African-American Odyssey Home, today. Thank you.
Was fitting, it was I, the abstract,
and me, the five-footer. I kicks the mad style, so step off the Frankfurter.
Yo, Fife, you remember that routine that we used to make spiffy like Mr. Clean?
A tidbit, a spidgin. I don't get the message, so you got to
okay.
run the pigeon.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
You're on point, Fife.
All the time, Tip.
So then grab the microphone and let your words rip.
Now here's a funky introduction of how nice I am. Tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. I'm like an energizer cause you see I last long. My crew is never ever whack because we stand strong. Now if you say my style is whack, I swear you're dead wrong. I slay that body and El Segundo then push it along. You be a fool to reprise the fight, is not the man. Cause you know and I know that you know who I am. A special shout out piece goes out to all my pals, you see. And a middle finger goes for all you punk MCs. Cause I love it when you whack MCs despise me. They get vexed, I will next and uncontest me. I'm just a plot MC who's 5'3" and very brave. On top remaining, no home training cause I misbehave. I come correct and full effect of all my holes in check. And before I get the butt, the gym must be a wreck. You see, my aura's positive, I don't promote no junk. See, I'm far from a bully and I ain't a punk. Extremity of rhythm, yeah, that's what you heard. So just clean out your ears and just check the word. Check the time.
Welcome back to Sign of the Times, everyone, brought to you by the UAC and New Power Radio Network. Tonight's guest is Brother Sugar Ray out of, where exactly are you in the Bronx, Brother Sugar Ray?
No, ma'am, I'm in Queens.
You're in Queens, okay.
Yeah,
you're talking, talking about race culture and the things that he's encountered in addressing this issue in our community, where, you know, we know that this issue exists and it goes beyond females. It goes way deep into who we are as a people and how we even choose to communicate and relate with one another. So, Brother Sugar Ray, let the listeners know how they can reach out to you and support not only this project, but the other projects that you're involved with.
So I'm on Facebook. My personal page is Sugar Ray, S-U-G-A, space R-A-Y, or you can search it, www.facebook.com/Sugar Ray Productions. That's S-U-G-A-R-A-Y, P-R-O-D-U-C-T-I-O-N-Z. That's Productions with a Z. My like page or my fan page is also Sugar Ray, S-U-G-A, space R-A-Y. Or can be searched with facebook.com/presidentialsugarray. That's presidential, PresidentialSugarray. That's Facebook. My Instagram is sugarray4506, SugarRay4506. That's also my Twitter. Or you can email me at thesugarrayshow, that's thesugarrayshow at gmail.com. That's thesugarrayshow@gmail.com. You know, and I'm always looking to build my people, you know, always looking to, you know, support other projects, other, you know, endeavors, always looking to definitely obviously be supported. We have a lot going on over here on this side, you know, that people can get involved in, people can support, you know, from the films, you know, to the activism, you know, to the business, you know, my wife and I, we have an all natural product line we create. Well, my wife creates, right? She's a genius. She's a scientist. You know, we have, you know, all natural products for the hair, for the home, you know, for the bath, for the body. We have aluminum-free deodorant. We have fluoride-free toothpaste. We have toxic, you know, toxic-free laundry soap, you know, all-purpose cleaning, all-purpose clary sage lemon scented cleaner, where actually our four-year-old son, you know, he uses the cleaner to clean a tub. Right, so children can use it. It's definitely safe. So we have that. We have the alkaline water. We have so much going on over here. You know, always still looking to expand and looking to build. You know, so please definitely reach out to me, either email or contact me on social media. And let's see how we can build together. Right, because the only way our communities are going to be stronger is if our families are stronger. Right, like when we talk about changing the new world, or we talk about building a new world. Right. People always want to think about the big picture. And that's great. You've got to see the big picture. But you can't forget that it's strong people that make strong families. It's strong families that make strong communities. It's strong communities that make strong cities. Strong cities that make strong states. Strong states that make strong countries. Countries that make nations. So you've got to start. And that's what the ancient saying is always true. Know thyself. Once you know you love you, and you're good, then you can deal with someone else. You can start a family. Right? You have to unite families. If you already have a family on your own, and that's how we build communities, right? So please, you know, we're always looking to connect with other families, especially, you know, who are obviously interested and who are committed and who are doing the work, you know, to building our community, not only here in America, but across the diaspora.
Ashe, Brother Sugar Ray, if I had known you had a presidential piece, I would have wrote you in for president.
Yo, you know what's crazy? I would never run, right? My boy, one of my great friends, one of my best friends. We was talking Tuesday night, actually, right? Like 2-3 in the morning. You know, had a long conversation. We were just building, and he was like, "Yo, I see Donald Trump become president. He was no freaking experience. If I would have knew this 5 years ago, we would have made you run." Right? I definitely thought about politics. Right? I thought about running for city council here in my local district. I also considered running for public advocate here in New York City. But I can do it, but not my thing. I'd rather do it, you know, I'd rather affect change a different way. That arena is not for me. I'm too much of a different type of person to be in that arena, you know. So, I decided against it.
Ashe. Well, you know, you are wearing so many hats already, Brother Sugar Ray. So I think you are doing, you know, what you intend, what your vision and what your purpose is right now here on this earth. Matter of fact, I don't know how you wear all these hats, and you're newlywed still to a certain extent,
yeah.
And you're expecting, you know, your baby here soon.
Yeah.
So, hats off to you for all the awesome things that you're doing to make the world a better place, man. We need more brothers like you.
Oh, man, thank you. We need more sisters like you and all the work that you're doing. You know, you've experienced some things and you fought through some things, and, you know, your mother and a grandma, and, you know, you're an activist and an educator, and, you know, you're on the ground, and you know, so we need more sisters like you, and, you know, yeah, but, you know, we're out there. You know, there's more me's out there, there's more you's out there. We just got to keep connecting. Keep connecting with each other.
Yeah.
Keep building this web, right? And that's what the internet's supposed to be, a worldwide web, right, where we connect with each other, right? And we build.
That's right.
Simple, we build stronger. Obviously, a lot of us
that's
are
right.
doing it, you know, and we can't really worry about those who aren't doing it, right? Because everybody serves their
that's
purpose.
Right.
Whether they want to or not, you always are fulfilling your destiny. You cannot escape your destiny. So we have to understand that
that's
and
right.
stop being so angry with those who are not active the way you want them to be active, right? Oh, y'all should be doing. And look, I have that issue as well. My wife always reminds me. I'm aware of it, but she reminds me, like, yo, you can't tell people what they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, use it and, you know, rephrase it, but people are always going to do what they do and what they feel is best. And, see, like, it's something I've been writing about, right? I've been writing, you know, so many of us, right? We have this, you know, whether we say God, the universe, the all, or, you know, whatever we say, you know, God is perfect. God is in control. The universe is, you know, perfect. All is divine, right? But then we say this shouldn't happen or you should be doing this. No. If all is divine, then the person or people is doing exactly what they are supposed to be doing, regardless of how you think
that's
or
right.
feel. But that's our desire to control, right? Our desire to control and to enforce our will on people. We're forgetting that everyone has their own will. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And even in that, it's all going to be okay. We are going to be okay for those who recognize, right, is that all is divine and we all are connected. Right? And,
that's right.
You know, for our religious folk who do use the word God, that God is in control always. Right? It's all good.
That's
so
right.
You got to do the work. You know, stay committed, right? Keep that faith of knowing, right? Not the blind faith, but the faith that I know is going to work out. Simple.
That's right. That's right.
It's that simple, right? But, you know, we as people, you know, we want to control things, right? Because we're, you know, so many of us have forgotten our spiritual nature. And we're, you know, on a human level, we want to control things. And things should be this way and things should be that way. Well, that shouldn't happen, right? Like, and it's confusing because in one breath, someone would say, you know, God is perfect, God is good, you know, all is God's will. Then the next breath say, oh, that shouldn't have happened. And I understand, right? I understand it, right? I do understand what people mean by that, but it's like you got to get to the higher understanding and realize that it's all from the same source. All of
that's
it.
That's right.
from the same source, it's just different or different degrees on different frequencies or wavelengths. So if you do want to change something, right, you be the change, right, you meditate, you emit the frequency, right, and affect it in that manner, and you lead by example. It's that simple, you know, and you be patient, right, you be patient, and you keep doing the work, not patient, sitting there watching, seeing when the seed is going to sprout from the ground, but no, you plant the seed, you trust that as long as it gets the water it's supposed to get, it gets what it's supposed to get, that it's going to sprout, it's going to grow, so you now go plant other seeds, and you go do other work, and when your heart says come back, you come back, and if it's growing, beautiful, and if it's not growing yet, then it's okay, you try something different, and maybe some seeds are not meant to grow. Some seeds are meant to die.
That's right.
Right? But, you know, we don't understand that.
You got that right.
We've gotten so far away from nature. All you have to do is study nature. That's it. All you got to do is get back to who we are and studying nature and just watching. Right? And just watching and literally observing with our own two eyes. You don't got to be metaphysical with the third eye. No, just watch with your own two eyes. Take your two eyes, sit and watch nature. Feel it. Feel the seasons change, right? It's about to get real cold here in New York and some of these states. But then it's going to get warm again. The trees are about to freaking almost die. The leaves are all about to fall off the trees. They're going to go into the ground, but they're going to come back again. It's that simple. It's a cycle of life. It's everlasting. And we got to understand that, right? And again, if we want something a certain way collectively, then emit that frequency. Lead by example. Be the change. Emit the frequency. And it will be. Ashe.
Ashe, ashe. And, you know, Brother Sugar Ray, when you first had a dialogue with you here on Sign of the Times, one of the things that we talked about was the National People's Power Campaign.
Yes.
As we are looking at, you know, what the situation is currently in Washington, D.C., as we look at circumstances on a local level, you know, for example, here in Cincinnati where the jury is now deliberating on the Ray Tensing trial, and he may be charged with murder or aggravated murder. And the jury's still out on that, and they resume deliberation tomorrow at 8 a.m. And on a national level, you know, looking at our circumstances with Black Lives Matter and facing, you know, various oppressions, like you said, you know, I've had certain things that have happened to me and my family on a personal level because of the stand that I've taken in the community, but yet, you know, you and I both are still here and still building and still standing strong. Do you have any insight, or is the national campaign still, you know, moving forward, and can people still get involved in that? Because to me, one of the things I posted today was that we need to hug each other a lot more. And I
definitely
see a lot of hugging and a lot of forgiveness that needs to happen in our future for us to even begin this healing process even. So can you talk about a little bit about the national campaign and our current political environment? And do you have any suggestions on how people can support that, you know, if you are still moving forward in that vein?
Repeating something I just said, some seeds are planted, and when they're planted, it may not be the season for them to grow, right? But the season always changes, right? When I started to organize the National People's Power Campaign, right, there was a lot of conflict internally, right? So I had to step away from it and say, you know what, I'm still doing the work, right? I'm still doing the work, just maybe not with some of those same people, right? But I'm still looking to connect and organize, and right? Obviously, because we need to do it nationally, right? Locally, definitely. Nationally, definitely, right? And so the campaign, we've done nothing with the campaign over the last few years, but I think now is the time. Well, I think now is the time. I think now people are ready, especially right now, right, to really organize in their cities. And come together nationally to address these issues, right? So 2017, next year, right, will be the sixth annual, right? So since 2012 here in New York City, I've been doing the Fallen Soldiers Day, right, or Bless the Corners Day, rather, is what it was originally termed, where on the third Saturday of April, right, go out to the community. And Queensbridge is six square blocks, right? So we go on each corner, right, with 24 corners, and we do a prayer, we do a meditation, we light a candle, and we read virtues, right? So it's called Bless the Corners Day, where we honor and remember those who we've lost to murder, right? Whether they were innocently killed or whether they, you know, were living a lifestyle and doing some things that maybe brought it on themselves. Those are still our people. Those are still our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters, our fathers, and our mothers, right? So we never want to forget them. So this day is where we come together collectively as a community, and we go to each corner, like I said, you know, do the prayer, the meditation, read the virtue, light the candle, to remember those that we lost, to also support the family, you know, of those who've been lost, right, to murder, right, to homicide, right? And also, to again, to create the energy, right, to invoke the spirit of the ancestors, right, to call them in to protect us in our community. Since we've been doing this in Queensbridge, there's definitely been a lot less violence the last 5 years. Violence has definitely gone down in Queensbridge. Still some fights, like fist fights and a lot of hostility, but not the shooting, right, not the murder as it once was, right? And so obviously it's something that I've always wanted to do, obviously nationally, because we've lost people all over this country and all over this world. You know, melanated African people. And so next year I'm officially, since I've been doing it, right, Bless the Corners, the first year we received a citation from City Council, and then on the third year we actually received a proclamation where the city actually recognized it, right? So now I want to go forward, right, and change it to National Fallen Soldiers Day, where I imagine, right, at On the first Saturday of April, I can't remember the date for 2017, but it's the same third Saturday every year. Imagine if, even in 5 cities, right, 6, 7 cities, New York, Chicago, Detroit, L.A., Cincinnati, Baltimore, right, D.C., right, if at the same time, right, 12 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Eastern, whatever time will be agreed upon, right, that all of us, that we're collectively lighting candles, collectively remembering those that we've lost in our local communities, but also throughout the diaspora, since the beginning of time. Imagine if we stopped and took a moment to collectively recognize our brothers and sisters who have fallen, and how powerful would that be, right? And so that's one thing, you know, I'm definitely writing some stuff up, you know, so that it can be obviously universal and it can be adopted in other cities smoothly, right? But ultimately, I would like to, and I was actually thinking about it today on the train, right? Obviously, we're going to have, you know, whoever's president these next 4 years, 8 years, 12 years is going to be obviously very different, right? Not too much different, clearly, right? Because president is a certain, but clearly different than a person we've had the last 8 years, right? So one thing I wanted to do was get it into actual a government national holy day, right? Today I'm thinking I'm going to train that, you know, maybe no one who's going to be in this position, you know, for the next decade or so is going to recognize that, but they don't need to, because if we recognize that as a community, right, imagine how powerful would it be if across this country on that Saturday, right, no one went to work, right? People had Saturday programs for that time. Everyone stayed home and everyone participated in honoring and remembering. And if you had to go somewhere, if you had to be at work or Saturday school or something like that, at that moment, for those few first minutes, you honored and you took a moment of silence to reflect on all those who you lost personally, because a lot of us actually know people who've been killed. Right, some of us only read it on TV, only hear about it in the community, might know somebody whose family was killed, right? But I'm realizing that so many people, you know, never actually experienced it, like don't know anyone who experienced that, and that's a good thing, right? But far too many of us have direct connection with someone who's been murdered. Either we've seen someone killed, or someone in our family was killed, or someone who we love and who we know, we watched grow up, was killed, right? So Bless the Corners, right? National Fallen Soldiers Day is going to be, I would say, the first organized event for the National People's Power Campaign as we work to bring that back in 2017. You know, and again, still connecting with you, and you know, I know I mentioned to you I want to do a newspaper, right? I know you can do it, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to start, you know, definitely speaking about organizing that. I want to do something called Diaspora News, where, you know, we speak about, you know, all these different campaigns and organizations and stuff that's doing the work in the community. We speak about the businesses, right? You know, we highlight the businesses, we advertise,
You know, and we start small. We start in maybe my city and your city. You know, find, you know, Lee Gordon over in Detroit. That's my boy, right? Maybe start in his city, right? Get 3, 4, 5 cities. You know, 3, 4, 5 cities to contribute to, you know, to the publishing. You know, get some editors, get some writers, get some contributors. And I think we can put it together in no time. You know, and then we have our own physical newspaper.
I say. Right? Well, I'm ready. I'm ready. I think that's exactly what we need. Is to take our communication to the next level. You know, you mentioned social media before and how we've all connected via social media. Now it's time to take it to the next level and getting back to our roots, because not everyone is on social media. We definitely can put a flyer or a newspaper or, you know, a reading or something like that in folks' hands. We also have connected with a publisher out in California, too, a wonderful sister that hosts a site called Knowledge Power Books. So she's about the business of empowering our children through literature. So, yeah, everything, you know, like you said, Brother Sugar Ray, we put out the energy, we put out that frequency, and, you know, it may not happen within, you know, 2 hours or 10 hours or a week even, but the thing is to stay persistent and keep pushing that energy out there. Shay, I'm ready. Let's make this thing happen.
I know, you're always ready, right? So, we're going to take some conversation.
That's right.
No, and you're supposed to be, right? You're supposed to be. Obviously, sometimes we can definitely, you know, overwhelm ourselves and spread ourselves thin. But I think a friend once told me a few years ago, right, a great friend once said, you can do everything that you want to do, but you got to organize your time.
That's right.
You know,
that's very good advice.
And that's something that I still struggle with, right, because I have so many ideas, so many projects, so many, like, my mind is really filled constantly all day with ideas, right, of things to do, you know, to build my family, you know, to build myself, my family, and my community, right, locally, nationally, and globally, right? So, you know, some things you can, you know, do right now. Some things, you know, you might have to start now, but you might can't do it for 2 years or 6 months. Or, you know, some things you might could do, you know, once every month. Right, it's just about organizing your time, organizing your schedule, structuring it in a way where you can do it all. Right, and so I think when it comes to a newspaper, I definitely have time. I will make time to, you know, to do my part, as I'm sure you will, and I'm sure those who also feel the need, because there are many of us who feel and who know that we do need a newspaper. Social media is great, but there are so many people who are not on social media, and social media doesn't. One thing I always loved about newspapers and why I always wanted to do one, right, I'm actually working now to do one in my community, you know, one for Queensbridge Chronicles, all right, is that in Queensbridge, again, is every community is unique, right? Queensbridge is, you know, 6 blocks, 92 buildings, between 12,000 to 15,000 people. Queensbridge is bigger, right? Now, Queensbridge is a small part in Queens. Actually, it's a small part in Long Island City, which is a part in Queens. Right, Queensbridge is literally just one neighborhood, right? But it's bigger by population than some town. It's bigger than some towns,
wow,
and some states, right? It's bigger than some cities and some states, right?
Mm-hmm.
Population wise, right? Because 96 buildings have 6 floors each, and some buildings have A through E and some are A through F, right? So there's so many people here. And we've never had our own newspaper. And so one thing I recognized, I was like, how dope would it be if every week, you know, next Sunday's paper, you know, a 12-year-old, 13-year-old make the front page for, you know, excellence in reading, right? Or, you know,
nice.
A 17-year-old who is not only great in sports, but he's doing great community service. He's a great he's respectful in his family. Right, he's doing great work. Imagine if he made the front page of the newspaper, or she made the front page of the newspaper for her science project. Right, like how dope would that be? Like, because again, in this community, even if 8,000 people bought the paper, yo, 8,000 people, 5,000 people, right? Yo, it's 3,444 apartments. Even if 1,000 apartments got the paper subscribed, that's 1,000 families, right?
Yeah,
who saw you on the front
page. That's right.
Right. And
that's right.
Each one of those
that's
people
right.
represent a different level of power. So out of those 1,000 families, that's not even saying how many people that is, but 1,000 apartments, 1,000 families, right? maybe 10 of them are able to help you in what you're doing. They're able to put some money behind you, or they might not have the money, but they might know somebody, right, who knows somebody who got some connections to help you get where you want to go. But that won't happen, right, unless you put it out there. And social media is great, but social media doesn't really do that. It doesn't, because it doesn't, it's not congested where it's, you're the highlight, right, of this week. Right, and so that's
right.
Why I want to create the paper, to really, to really promote people, promote businesses, to really, again, to spread the news of what's happening in the community, not just, definitely, it's not going to be the, the crazy, ratchet, violent stuff. No, we're going to talk about the great news in the community. And obviously, if something terrible happens, we're also going to share that news in our newspaper, but that's not going to be the basis. That's not going to be the building of the newspaper. The newspaper is going to be Queensbridge Chronicles, right? We're going to focus on the great stuff. Like right now, one of my partners, one of my big brothers, Taylor Murphy, unfortunately, his daughter was murdered tragically in 2011, 9/11, 2011. Now he actually, in the community, he launched a Kids Behind the Camera program where they teach children, young children, like 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds, right, 9-year-olds, how to use the camera, take pictures. They're using DSLR, taking pictures, doing videos. The children, actually, 2 weeks ago, they had a domestic violence event that's, some people in the community organized, and the children actually took the pictures. They were the photographers and videographers, 9 and 10-year-old
wow.
children.
Wow, sweet,
right? So I want to put them on the newspaper, put them in, have them, number one, have them be some, maybe the journalist, right, but then put them in the newspaper, put their work in the newspaper. Like, how much validation is that? So we talk about, right, so we talk about earlier, right, we spoke about hip-hop and mainstream media. We create our own media, we change the paradigm. Right, we change the paradigm
wow.
by creating our own media. And
that's
it's
right.
that simple. It's
that's
that
right.
simple as a newspaper, right? People still read newspapers.
That's
People
right.
still read.
That's
and
right.
And then I was even mm-hmm. in my research I was reading, right? It was talking about why some newspapers fail. Some newspapers fail because they try to keep up with the times, but the internet, right, took over the time, right? So so many people abandoned like communal issues. So but every community wants to know what's going on in their community. So you have what's going on locally in
yeah.
the community, you have a community newspaper, people will buy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about keeping up with the times and, keeping up with moving. No. Some things will never change. People still read physical books, physical magazines, physical newspapers. So let's create them for them.
That's right. That's right. Well, Brother Sugar Ray, we're going to get ready to wrap up here in a few minutes. Again, let the listeners know how they can find the End the Silence of Rape Culture Project. Do you have a Facebook page for that particular project
yes.
as of yet?
Yes, absolutely. I have a Facebook and Instagram page. So the Facebook page is Speak Up and Rape. That's SPEAKUPENDRAPE. Or you can search it. Facebook.com/ Speak Up and Rape, SPEAKUPENDRAPE, Speak Up and Rape. That's on Facebook, on Instagram. Our Instagram page is Speak Up and Rape as well, SPEAKUPENDRAPE, Speak Up and Rape, right? That's where, you can definitely support that movement. The documentary is in the works, right? Will be released. No, spring, summer 2017, we're still filming, we're still working. We still have people sharing their stories. We're still putting it together, so much work to be done, but I believe that, again, if we all do our part, if we all do a little bit, if we all, again, be transparent with each other, share your story, like, turn your pain into your power, right? Turn your pain into your glory,
mm-hmm.
Don't let your pain stagnate you. We all have a story. Some of us have more, more scars than others. But we all got a story to share that not only will help us heal, but can definitely and most definitely does and will always help another person heal and grow, right? And gain the confidence to also share their story, all right? So, that's another thing I want to encourage is get back to story sharing. Get back to sharing stories, when we're at the dinner table and, when we're out with our friends and our family. Share stories, not just gossip, not just what's happening around the world, but share personal stories, personal stories
mm-hmm.
and, the lessons that come with them.
the blessings that come with them, you know. So that's what we're doing. You know, Queen, I thank you for the opportunity always. I salute you. You know, I hear your loved ones in the background, right? life is good.
Ashe, that's right. And, you know, bless you and your beloved family and your wife for, being a support to you on this journey. And I can't wait to see the baby. I know she's going to be absolutely beautiful. And, there are beautiful and better things to come, comrade. And I can't express, how appreciative I am of your honesty, your friendship, your camaraderie, because you always keep it 100, Brother Sugar Ray, and I appreciate that in you, and it's definitely exemplary for the young men whose lives I know that you have an impact on from Brother Sage Love and those who are there with you in Queensbridge. So hats off to you. We love you. We appreciate you, and you know that Sign of the Times is open to you anytime you get ready to come on the air.
Thank you. Love you more. Oh, I do have something I do want to do in March, right? March, I know we'll be on a bigger platform. In March, I celebrate 10 years of since my release from prison and also my 33rd birthday, and I'm also releasing my autobiography, all right? So I definitely want to come on at that time and, share life and joy and, I really want to share some tips, right, for our brothers and sisters who have been incarcerated, who don't want to go back. I've been home. Again, March 9th will be 10 years. No rearrest, right? Haven't been back. And I've completely transformed my life from what I was to who I am now. And, it's definitely difficult, but it's definitely possible, right? So I definitely want to share some tips and some strategies on how I was able to, survive these 10 years and thrive and, get what I want out of life. I got my family. I got my wife. I got my baby coming and, I'm still young, I'm still growing, I'm still thriving, and we're still building.
That's right.
I'll see you soon, beloved.
Same here, likewise. We love you, Brother Sugar Ray, and we thank you for being a part of Sign of the Times. We will be back tomorrow night live in Living Color with Open Mic, and please reach out to Brother Sugar Ray on Facebook as Sugar Ray, S-U-G-A-R-A-Y, and the Facebook page is Speak Up and Rape Campaign. Please reach out to them as well in the group. So thank you, Sugar Ray. We'll see everybody tomorrow night here at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sign of the Times. This is Queen Tahira signing off. Peace, everybody.
Peace.
Red to hide, every brother ain't a brother. Watch me through the room. Strength David Clark, use a black face coon. Bron James good to speak, his pocket is too deep. Tell my wife got murdered in your own backyard. Pay the family $6 million. Yeah, that's a fact. But on some real talk, that ain't gonna bring her baby back. They pay the teachers in Detroit. They're running out of time. The kids suffer from the school to the prison pipeline. It ain't easy. The rain gon' fall sometime, cause this road ain't easy. Some rain gon' fall sometime, cause this road ain't easy. Some rain gon' fall sometime, cause this road ain't easy. Some rain gon' fall sometime, cause this road.
Yep, we the history of slavery, you understand this. There were two kinds of Negroes. There was that old house Negro and the field Negro. And the house Negro always looked out for his master. When the field Negroes got too much out of line, he held them back in check. He put them back on the plantation. The house Negro could afford to do that because he lived better than the field Negro. He ate better, he dressed better, and he lived in a better house. He lived right up next to his master in the attic or the basement. He ate the same food his master ate and wore his same clothes. And he could talk just like his master, good diction. And he loved his master more than his master loved himself. That's why he didn't want his master hurt. If the master got sick, he'd say, what's the matter, boss? We sick. When the master's house caught a fire, he trying to put the fire out. He didn't want his master's house burned. He never wanted his master's property threatened. And he was more defensive of it than the master.